I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And we're gay.
And his NB.
Episode number 103. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of A Gay and His NB, the podcast where we talk about all the things that we're watching on television this week. We have a great episode ahead for you, but before we get into any of our thoughts on things, we have a few housekeeping notes to get out of the way first.
Wherever it is that you're listening, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or one of the other lovely podcast platforms out there, we would love for you to leave a rating and a review. Not only does that help us get into the algorithm and find more listeners like yourself, but it also lets us hear back from the listeners we already have. We want to hear what you love, what you don't love, and what you'd love to hear from us in the future.
You can also follow us across social media platforms, all at A Gay and His NB. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, where we're posting new content every day, including clips from the podcast and some of our instant thoughts of the things that we're watching. We're live tweeting more. We're interacting more. So it's a great place to get in touch with us. It's a great place to just hear more from us. And like Graham mentioned, you can follow us across platforms, all at A Gay and His NB.
And if you'd like to rep us out in the real world, we do have lovely merch that is over at againisnb.threadless.com. We have 10 different designs on there, three of which are Pride specific. We are coming up on Pride Month pretty soon, so make sure that you get your new Again is NB merch to wear at your favorite Pride parade.
And last but not least, if you have any questions for us that you would like us to answer on a future episode of the podcast, you can be sure to submit that to us across the social media platforms I mentioned or at againisnb@gmail.com. Just be sure in doing that to leave your name, leave your question, and who knows, we may answer it on a future episode of the podcast. Babe, what is in store for our listeners on this 103rd episode?
Well, we no longer have the dark cloud that is Potomac.
Oh, that's why I feel lighter.
It does feel a little bit lighter. So we get to just talk about the loveliness that is Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, very light episode this week, but it's still very fun with this.
Yes, very much fun. You know, Amir takes us on a rodeo day, and Jasmine has a special announcement, and you know, all sorts of lovely things happening over at Martha's Vineyard. But before we get to any of that, let's talk Drag Race.
Drag Race. Last time talking about Drag Race season 16 because it is the finale. Before we sort of dive into everything and sort of like break things down, I got to say, great finale. I think they've kind of narrowed down the format better for the finale, like sort of like making it feel more like an event. Making it feel like the structure of it, I really love. And I liked, so we had mentioned before, like the discussion about this whole like new staging stuff and like what this was about. Also, this was filmed apparently like we thought pretty close after like the initial like filming of the season.
So apparently they finished the season in May, and then only 3 months later, they filmed this.
Yeah, I heard
finale.
This was like August or something like that. Which there's dispute about like why that is. Like I thought it was, I had heard it was like a writer's strike thing. There's other people saying that they were specifically upset because I know like Anitra's crowning got leaked or whatever. Because for people that don't know, they filmed two or the multiple crownings of like the finalists and stuff like that. So it doesn't get spoiled on like blogs or like.
I don't know why anybody would be mad about that, though. Anitra's not real win got leaked
after the fact.
So it's not like it was a fake spoiler or anything.
Yeah, and like, I feel like we've seen people leak those before.
Seen that. So, I mean, I don't see why that matters. All that does is give people the chance to see what they would have seen if their favorite queen won, which I don't know why anybody would have thought it would have gone to anyone but Sasha, but like Anitra would have been an amazing winner as well.
Sure. I guess it just seemed like it was smaller audience. I'm assuming like tighter NDA. Like if you're in that group, that's like, you know, you can't, it's not like you can just like buy, were people able to just buy tickets?
No.
Like you had to be on a list, right?
From what I heard, these are paid actors.
Oh, for this particular one,
yes.
Right? Well, they're doing the acting. We'll get to one of them later.
It was for this and for the Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
We're both paid audiences.
I'm assuming it's like the same people if they do like a roast and they do like a live audience for that.
Right.
Like, you know. But I kind of liked that it was slightly more intimate while still feeling big, if that makes sense. Like it didn't, you know.
I am kind of pissed, though, that we don't get a real reunion. And we don't even, like, because
I'm
this
very
is,
pissed at that.
Because this is so fresh, the Queens hadn't had a chance to even see the season.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing one at, like, DragCon, you showed, I think you texted me that.
There's a, well, the thing that I like about this, and it's not perfect, but I do like the fact that because it is live in front of a live audience being streamed online as it happens.
Oh, is that okay?
There's no editing that's going to get to happen to this. They don't get to control a narrative.
That might be a problem, actually.
Oh, no. I want Amanda to dive, like, fully spear Plain Jane across the stage.
Didn't they? Because it's the same. They've been doing it on WoW with, they've been doing it for, like, the international franchises. They'll have, like, reunions or whatever at DragCon that, like, T.S. Madison hosts or whatever. Some of them have actually been pretty, like, good. Like, the Canada's Drag Race ones have been particularly really good. Like, with Fierce Delicious. So, I think there is value to, I just think it should have been on the season, and like,
yeah,
that I think they should go back to,
because it's such a pain to have to go find this, air this.
Yeah,
like, we want, everyone wants to see this.
I'm pretty good on this season. I think this season would have made for
Last season was Kumbaya season. This season is gonna be juicy.
So we start the show with I love Rue's performance to Pink Lemonade, Pink Limousine.
Pink Limousine. Yeah. I really liked this. I especially loved the part where she's in the limo and then, like, we zoom out and the background parts and she's on the stage.
Yeah, I thought
it was like, that was amazing.
When it was first playing, I was like, oh, this is kind of a bad green screen. But then when you saw what it, I was like, oh, okay.
That's an LED screen behind her.
Yeah, that made more sense. It was a fun number. You know, Rue got to do her little step and touch.
Right. She did a step touch in the middle, and then she walked to one side and did a step touch.
She did a body roll. Did you notice
the
body roll?
Oh, she did do a body roll. And then she walked to the other side and did a step touch over there. And then she walked through the menses.
Yeah.
And then did another step touch. I thought it was a lot of activity for Rue.
I just wish she would do more. I get her legs. I wish she would do more upper body something. Like do a little balance, especially when you have that hair. Like, balance a little bit. Give it some movement. That, I think, I can forgive, you know, the stiffness if you at least, you know, profile give me something, right?
What I would... Okay, so you know the have you seen the video from, I guess it was actually what went into the episode, but there was a dance competition episode of the Golden Girls.
Yeah. Oh, the one with Betty White where she does like the cartwheels and all that
stuff. But it's like clearly a stunt double.
Well, they did that before. Remember when they made Rue and Michelle lip sync on the Christmas special and it was so obviously a stunt double?
But that's funny, right?
Yeah.
Do that here. Like, literally have Rue run to the side and have someone else run in the same gimmick.
Yeah.
And like do all this stuff where their face is not visible and then have Rue run back in.
Right.
I think that would be fucking hilarious.
Or, I mean, like, yeah, here's my
thing. That's campy.
I don't know Rue's body. I also think she can push herself a little bit. Like, I you know, it doesn't have to be, like, you know, so extensive, but, like...
I mean, look, it's getting to the point where she's starting to give up some of the outer franchises.
Yeah.
Where now Michelle is doing Australia down under.
How old is RuPaul?
She's got to be in her 60s.
Probably at the very least. But, like, not to be like, oh, it's not... She's 63. Okay, but, like,
to think she was in her 40s when Drag Race started.
That is kind of wild, yeah.
Because I would have thought that she was at least mid-50s starting Drag Race.
God, she really just gives old energy. So I guess it works for her. It's fine. They introduce all the queens. Let's go through all our thoughts on everyone's finale looks, because this is the time to turn it out. We have Hershey LaCour Jetay. I thought this was very cute. Not like maybe the most memorable, but kind of like,
I thought it was
what you would expect.
Yeah. I thought this was nice. I didn't think that it was finale nice, but I thought it was nice.
Yeah. You know,
this is a good Eleganza look.
I do agree with, I think, Raja on Fashion Photo Review. I am sick of the jewels in the hair trend that everyone's doing.
I didn't mind it here because it wasn't like in your face. It was just a small accent.
Right. And she, her hair is like the rolls, right? It's, mm-hmm. It has that kind of like element to it to where it sort of works. But I loved Mirage's look. It was so good.
It was very Lisa Frank, is if Lisa Frank was cunt.
But is Lisa Frank not cunt?
Yes, but it's like cute cunt. This is like fierce cunt.
I love this show. no, this was great. And I thought her nude illusion that she has on this look is great. It's actually really stunning. I love the hair with like the little like chopstick vibe. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
A mandatory meeting.
Looked amazing.
Great glow up. Love the makeup. I would have liked different styling of the hair.
I'm fine with the hair. I think, it was Raven on Fashion Photo Review said that she wished it was the green, that green yellow that's in the dress.
Maybe, but I feel like even that I wouldn't like.
I don't think it would have looked right on her skin tone.
No, I don't think so either. But I still think, like you said, it is a big glow up and her makeup does look really great here at the end of the day. Geneva Carr, holy shit, this is a mess.
This is such a mess. I would call it a train wreck, but I think it's a car wreck. It's a lot of different things, mm-hmm. and none of them are good.
It's like like the leather skirt with the leather boots, but then it's like sort of like what's that fucking show with the home? It's like Bridgerton on top. It's like there's like a Bridgerton like drapey element to it that's weird to me.
The shoulder pieces are giving me the end of Rocky Horror Picture Show. The twins are like have their space suits on, mm-hmm. the big like fuck you shoulders, but they're not like it's not good.
No, it's just a little like, and it's like we get it, Car, Drag Race. It's a little overdone of a theme.
Also, can we talk about when if you're gonna do the no titty drag, which is not my favorite, but do you, girl, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to do that, don't then accentuate that by having these weird stiff circles over where your boobs would be that are too small to give the illusion you're trying. Cause it's, the issue is that she's broad chested. So you're going to do that and do no, and then these small little.
The proportions okay. off, and that's the thing. It's like
proportionizing.
Not to say that, and also not to say that like skinny or smaller people can only do that, but it's like I think you need to like you're saying, like have an understanding of like where like things are placed in your body to where like it ends up working out better. Megami's I ended up really liking. I agree. I like this dress a lot. It's a very cool dress.
Yes, I wish that there was some sort of accent on like the hip thing, like the right in the V, to like maybe break up that pattern a little bit, like a solid black, like a hip detail.
Maybe. I don't mind that because I like that it's almost nude. It's like nude illusion-esque.
Ish. Yeah.
Like it's got that like, it does look like it's almost like tattooed onto her.
Yes. I really enjoyed that aspect.
Yeah.
I just visually, I needed a breakup somewhere in there.
I also really like Tsunami Muses. I thought this was such a cool different silhouette that wasn't like, I sometimes hate it when people go too ridiculous with silhouettes where it's like, I'm just going to do different. And but like this, I thought actually worked really well. I love how high the slit is of the leg. It makes her legs look gigantic in the best way.
The color is great. I also love the fact that she was just like, what left arm?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I only need a right, honey.
I've literally never had an arm there. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The thing that the one issue is the pop out on the hip.
Oh, right.
It's a little too far out, I think. I think it needs to come in just a tad because I think it's it's not balanced by the shoulder.
No, it definitely, if you're someone who's like big on symmetry, this is not the look.
Well,
for
it doesn't need to be symmetrical, but it does need to be balanced.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
feels lopsided in a way that makes me feel off balance as I'm watching it.
Right.
Physically, I feel like I'm drifting, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Plasma's gorgeous.
Holy fuck.
You really love this one. I like it too a lot. I love the hair. I thought it was like nicely sculpted, and there's like the little gems in there, but it's not done in the way that like Hershey's is, where it just kind of feels like a strip. It feels like more like intricately placed to me.
Yeah. Like, well, and it helps that it's gold accents on blonde hair, as opposed to like deep sapphire blue on blonde hair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the juxtaposition is not as much.
Then I thought this was the best Maya Mallow Page has ever looked.
I agree. I would have brought the fringe up a little bit more. Like give a V to the fringe to do the neck, mimic the neckline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think the hem is a little, it doesn't hit the floor exactly. And like, I would have liked that.
It is a strange length.
Yeah, I think it gives sort of a vibe to me that I really like. And I think it's the most extravagant she's looked, and really.
Oh, I fully agree. Even if it was just the fringe that hit the ground, the fabric in the back doesn't need to hit the ground.
Yeah, I agree. Dawn looked like she was in the Trolls movie.
Which I think is fabulous for Dawn.
And it's clearly her intention.
Right.
I don't know why I didn't love this as much. And I can't even, it's one of those things where it's like, I can't pinpoint why I didn't like it.
I was able to pinpoint the one issue I had, which is the little bobble on top.
I think
if it was just the hair, and the hair had maybe a bow in it, that was that bright pink, but you've got like this whole contraption up there.
Right.
That I didn't necessarily, I thought it was just one thing too much. You know, the Elizabeth Taylor take one thing off.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it until I think you brought it up, where it's just like, oh, she got like critiqued the whole season for her elf ears and like take the elf ears out. And
these
like,
are fuck you ears.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with.
Like, I'm going to make them the biggest statement in the piece, which
I do. She barely wore those ears during the season.
No,
like
once Michelle said, get rid of them. She got rid of them.
Well, but even then she had only worn them twice.
Yeah.
So, and it was like over five looks.
It really is. Like, wait until it's like episode 8 or 9, guys, to like strip people of like their signature.
Right.
Come on. And obviously signature doesn't matter. We'll get to the winner later. Morphine, I thought was stunning. I love this look. I think you were thinking it's a little too simple for a finale.
Yes.
I disagree. I think simple can work for a finale if it's done as perfect as this. Like, the way this dress hugs her body in the most like perfect way, like she looks like a fucking movie star. And I think that is like the vibe she was clearly going for, and I think she executed like perfectly.
I agree with everything you're saying. I just still don't think it's enough. I would have wanted something a bit more grand. Something that was maybe more on the, like a blend between this and the outer look that she did for the Lollapalooza. The fact that it was like if this had a little bit like a slit up the front with, you know, like a little bit more of a slight train to the skirt, you know, to where it kind of drags behind her a little bit.
I think it makes sense if she was in the top three, like what you're saying.
Oh, no. To me, on the finale, you dress like you just won. It does not matter if you were first out. You show up and you show out.
Possibly, but I don't know. I thought this was, like, there was just something so striking about it, and it was, I liked that it wasn't done up too much. Like, I like this. There's something, I know it's crazy with drag, but it's like, there's something about the simplicity of it that I really, really fucking enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Q's is next, and I thought Q looked great.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what you expect and sort of like straightforward with a look like this, but it is very stunning. And I'm sure she probably made it, so it, you know, makes it even better. What was she doing with her hands? She was doing like these, like,
it was very, from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, the Junice. Yeah. Yeah. It was giving, I don't think she meant for it to be like that. I think she went, was like regal, like I'm like kind of doing like the queen wave, but like
to the side,
but it was giving Junice.
Like, yeah. It was giving Junice on a tightrope.
Sure.
Like, I need balance and I'm Junice. I am glad that this is in a blue.
Yes.
Because I think if it had been anywhere in the red family, those sleeves would have looked like a prolapse.
Probably, actually, yeah.
I'm glad we went blue. We went cool tones here. Nowhere, anywhere that could be construed as something else.
Mm-hmm. I also did love, we'll get to it, but like with the top three, I love that they stuck with primary colors. Like, mm-hmm. like it ended up working out because of everyone's kind of like vibe, but like, yeah. Now going on to the top three, Nymphia Wind. I mean, like, I can, like, would this have been more impactful if she didn't do four other banana looks on the season? Probably.
Yeah.
But this was still really great. I liked it.
I wish she had worn an orange.
Yeah.
So I you know, the
I think I made that joke to you, actually.
Did you? No, I think I made that joke to you.
I think I did it very early in the season.
Okay. Maybe. Sure. That could possibly be true. But like, yeah. Banana, orange. You're glad I didn't do banana again.
Yeah, that's it's so obvious.
It really is.
The joke is right there. But I do love the like the way that this folds out, and it's like literally a peeled banana, but it's like very like still gorgeous and like, you know, very regal in that regard. I really didn't even notice it until, so she did like in New York, she was doing an event where like everyone like did either numbers with her, wore like yellow or banana stuff, mm-hmm. and centered it around it. And she did a duet with Manila. And I didn't realize until now how much Nymphia has like a Manila quality to her.
Oh yeah.
Like seeing her in her Chiquita banana look next to Manila's pineapple look, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, now I get it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Plain Jane, I thought, looked stunning.
This was absolutely regal.
The best she's ever looked.
This was very Anastasia.
Yes. I like the moment of her like revealing the inside of the skirt to like show right. her legs and stuff like that. She really did a good job in like presenting this in a way that was like really stunning. And then Sophia Cristal, I love this. I think it's very, like, again, it's fantastical in a way that Sophia's drag always is.
Right. Very, like, Amazonian goddess, warrior.
The spear?
Yes.
Was, like, very, like, there was something, like, again, there's always an element to it that it's just like, shit, you paid money for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you really doled out. I did have issues with the breasts.
Yeah.
If you notice, it's kind of, they're weird on the side. Like, the breast plate is, like, almost, like, it's, like,
well, because the side of it is exposed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, it's tacked down on the top and bottom, but the sides, you just see the seam.
I couldn't get my eyes off of it to a certain extent. And that took me out of it a little bit.
I do also, when I'm looking at that ribbon that's over the, quote-unquote, nipple of the breast.
Yeah.
It's like, was that added because they didn't want her to walk out there with her nipple exposed?
Honestly, I would have. I'm sure it couldn't make it on MTV, and maybe they could have blurred it. I don't know. I would have gone full exposed titty.
Because they've had like girls in titty bibs in the workroom, and they just blur out the nipple.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Also, they're clearly fake breasts, people.
Right.
Like,
but they are female presenting, so we have to blur them. It's so stupid.
It's so dumb.
But like, I thought that I feel like that would have been such a bigger statement, right?
To just I agree.
Full exposed breast.
Well, I wouldn't have done full exposed breast. I would have done full Janet Jackson pasty.
Sure.
That's like encrusted in jewels and like all of this ornamentation.
I think maybe, well, we'll get to Sasha Colby. We'll get to her in a little bit, but like, I think that maybe that was the only thing of, like, Sasha was so great at that last season, too, as well. Like, her... Mm-hmm. The, when the fact that Sasha... I think I said
Sasha was crowned naked.
Basically naked. And that was amazing. Like, so I think to one-up that is kind of hard. So maybe...
Right. That's fair.
Yeah.
Especially when this isn't even the look you would theoretically be crowned in.
Right. Let's get into the performances. Obviously, they did it like last year where everyone gets their sort of like performance that they get to do, and then it's going to get narrowed down. It gets narrowed down to a top two. I really love that. Again, I love that they're doing this, and we'll get to it when it comes to the result at the end of the episode. I appreciate that from what I feel, the performances are factored into the decision of who wins. You know what I mean? I believe it should be.
Yes.
I think it should be. I think once you get to this finale, it comes down to performance and lip sync. Who, like, you know what I mean? Who does the best at this final, you know, thing? It's the same thing with, like, shows like Project Runway. It doesn't matter what you did on the rest of the season. It's your final fucking collection. That is what it comes down to.
Right.
Like, that I think is... vital. It evens the playing field. It makes it more interesting because you don't know where it's going to go.
It also honors growth over the season.
Yes.
Because if you start it, like, the whole point of the season is to get to the finale. The point of the finale is to win the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's not like the rest of the season is how you get there.
Right.
Once you're there, this is it. It's like whatever's within this box. And like I just said, I think that honors the ability to start off maybe a little bit crunchier than everybody else, but you still stay around and you still like work your ass off to grow and become better. And then you end up in the final two because of that work.
Yeah, I agree. Nymphia Wynn was the first one with her performance. And this is where I'm kind of wanting the point to bring that up, where it's like...
My jaw was on the fucking
This was
ground.
The best of the three. This was undoubtedly the best of the three performances in the deal.
This was literally book her a tour. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like the same level... I'm going to get some blowback from this.
Mm-hmm.
I can already tell before it comes out of my mouth.
Do it.
But... this is like a Beyonce level performance.
It really is. It's not like, again, it's...
this is a Beyonce, a Lady Gaga, a Ariana level stage performance.
Because here's the thing. It's the material. We'll get to when we talk about Plain Janes. I have questions about the material that they were given and like what... I would love to know how much of their input goes into things like choreo, things like the stunts, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's important. But to me, it wasn't just even the stunts. The stunts here are great. Like, when she does the tearaway bit at the in the beginning of it and reveals that sort of like pink lilac-y look, mm-hmm. fantastic. But even more than any of it, when they go into the choreo with the group, she is matching their choreo so perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, and I literally was like, oh, I forgot she was in like a K-pop band, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, you see it here. Like...
You know what I would also really love to see from these finales? If they're going to do these like prepared things... I want a little bit of what we get from the season, kind of like they do on Project Runway, where you see the little bit of them going home and designing and
right.
planning all of this out. You see rehearsals with the, like, all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, just even if it's like a little 4-minute package.
Just to see what went into this.
Yes. Because I think, to me, number one, that gives us the look and feel that we get all season, because all season we get to see that work happen, right?
Yeah.
But it also shows work ethic of the queens. It shows, oh, this bitch is a professional.
Yeah.
Like, she is out there pounding her pussy in rehearsals. And like,
because it's so obvious here, like,
right.
That is not some, like, this is not like you came in a couple days and we're like, this is the choreo we're giving you, figure it out. You took the time to really hone it down. And so that's where it's like that, like, it makes it that much more impressive to me.
Yeah.
And like the lift that she does is phenomenal. Like, just that ending pose where she has all the fabric in the back, like, and with the wind, like, it's
giving like the level of extravagance of like the Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah.
With the long fabric thing. Oh.
It's incredibly ethereal. And I love that it was semi. I love that she went a more serious route when we had been getting comedy from her pretty much all season.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I also love that it. There's an ease to her performance mm-hmm. that is just, oh, this is as easy to me as breathing. This is not work. What do you mean? I'm just this glamorous.
Yeah.
And we're just going to celebrate that on the stage tonight.
Isn't that lovely?
Isn't that lovely that I've invited you to watch this?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this was. And I was like, yes, absolutely. I am completely honored to be here tonight. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
They do. Okay. So when Ru comes back on with Nymphia, they do the younger self thing in this moment. We were wondering, I know last week or two weeks ago. A nice enough moment. It also tempers it a little bit, I think, when you're in front of other people and having to do it where it's like you narrow.
Yeah, that's
down.
A lot.
I feel like they kind of. Not that they scripted it, but they were definitely like, prepare something. You know what I mean? Don't like,
right. Because they don't get to cut out dead air.
Yeah. But I will say also, we'll get to everyone's parents, but like Nymphia's mom, it was her mom and her best friend who were there to support her from, and they came from Taiwan. So
wild. And I wonder if the show flew them out.
I have to imagine. I would.
That had to have been a ticket.
Yeah. But like her mom was so delightful and sweet. And like Nymphia crying at the, like you could really feel like it was a full circle moment for her. And you know, I'm not saying like, and I think it's all genuine emotions, but I think it was also really important. Like I was saying, we got comedy, like so like caricature of, you know, herself throughout the season. And then right towards the end, she like tugs on our heartstrings on an emotional level.
Right.
And that was like really like,
yeah.
I'm not saying it was calculated, but it was smart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it helped her propel her to, you know, get where she is. Cause you know, Ru loves a tear.
Oh, she loves a story arc.
Yeah. I think I didn't see Nymphia's story arc until like the last three episodes.
Yeah.
Right.
Completely.
I think, you know, that's why I, spoiler alert, satisfied with how things turn right. out, even though it's not what I expected.
Right. It's not what I expected. And it's not. Well, I mean, let's talk about it. Like, I think both of us were clearly thinking Saphira would win this season.
Yeah.
And I think rightfully so. It was pretty obvious in the way that the Sasha Colby win felt obvious, right? It was like, oh, bitch has arrived. And I mean, from the moment she walked in the workroom doors, we were like, yeah, that like the rest of y'all can go home. Mm-hmm. Like she's won. Like it felt that way with Saphira. Am I disappointed that she didn't win? Yes. Am I still satisfied with the win we got? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, it's a weird place.
As long as like, it wasn't Plain.
and
that's not to hate on Plain. That's just because I didn't feel like she deserved it.
No, yeah. Well, let's get into Plain's performance.
Because
next.
This performance was Erica Jayne.
We literally like, this is an Erica Jayne performance. Like, not as like a hype. Like, she literally, when they were going to the wide shots, looked like Erica Jayne.
Literally, like, go watch some of the clips that people have posted online of Erica on Vegas, in Vegas, and then come back and watch this performance again. It is uncanny.
Yeah. And, like, other than, like, there was no vulgarity in it, this also sounded like an Erica Jayne song.
Yeah.
It was, like, Erica Jayne mixed with a little Heidi Montag. Like, you know what I mean?
That's like, an interesting combo, but that is correct.
I actually thought this song is very catchy. It is very catchy.
Yeah.
My thing was, like, when you look at Nymphia's performance and then you look at Saphira's performance later, it was, again, what did Plain contribute and what was like, this is the song that you're doing.
Right. I feel.
Because I think like producer, I don't think they maybe gave Plain as much as they could have.
I don't necessarily think that that's true. I feel like Plain leans into the comedy.
Sure. It was going to be comedic.
It was going to be comedic. But it's like, girl, this is the finale. Like you can do comedy on the final lip sync. That can be part of it. But on your prepared performance, it needs to be fierce cunt hunty. Like that's it.
Yeah.
That's what you have to serve.
And I think we'll get to it. I think Plain definitely never wanted to show any vulnerability. I think like when they interview her mother, like in the front row, which was also her mother was also very sweet. Like you could tell like there were parts in Plane's face where she was like, I cannot cry right now. Like I'm not going to do that.
She was like, Mom, you went off script.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're making me cry. Why are we doing
this? Make a joke about my pussy being on fire. Like it felt like that, right?
Honestly. Well, it's also so strange because we heard how difficult things were for her growing up.
Yeah.
I don't remember when during the season it was, but it was during a tragedy mirror, I think like a few episodes in. And it's like, okay, but this is like, your mom seems very supportive now and she talks like she's always been supportive. So I wonder, like, I'm not saying that you're making things up.
Yeah.
But I don't think like, I wouldn't ever accuse someone of lying of their experiences, but like it doesn't seem to jive. So like, I want to know when did this switch over happen? I want to hear that story.
From what I remember, I think it was more on her dad's side, which was kind of like the bigger issue, if I remember correctly. But I might
sure.
be wrong on that. And she clearly got into ballroom dancing like at a young age. So, like, I'm sorry. Like, if you're – don't get your cisgendered male son into ballroom dancing and not think that there's, you know, a possibility.
Like, not to, like, reinforce gender roles, but, like – girl.
Yeah. But I don't think she, like I said, I don't think she wanted to be vulnerable at all. I wrote in my notes that it felt like when she was doing her younger self speech, she was reading it like a hostage statement.
Honestly.
It really was like, there was no, like, the part where she goes, you're going to get there, baby. Be yourself. It's just a little like,
it was like platitude kick.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then Rue mentions that she got a marketing degree like in the time between or whatever. And she's like, sell us your why you should be America's Next Drag Superstar. And she makes a joke about like, my campaign for the crown would have to be all this body. Do you like it? And then they cut to Amanda in the front row going, like stone face. That was the best moment of the episode. Oh.
To the point that is now Amanda's profile picture on Twitter.
It's fantastic.
It's fabulous. But I just find it funny that she went and got a marketing degree just to come out here and use it for the first time and fail.
Well, yeah, but also it's like, what do you, like, it felt like Rue was putting her on the spot genuinely. It's just like, oh, I didn't come up with a joke for this. Okay. Ass. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but like, honestly, come on. Like, she just got the degree. She has no experience.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Let her get some time before you...
She's entry level.
She's entry level marketing. Like, come on.
Yeah. Safira's performance. Again, that's the... But this is the other thing where I'm like, what did they get Plane versus whatever? Like, Safira starts, like, with this giant operatic, giant flowy dress. Like she's like...
Dress that's as big as the whole stage.
Yeah, and then it rips off, and then like she's like it, like, again, fantastic stuff, great high energy, like, all like her face is just so warm and inviting the whole time,
right?
It's like, it's really, really fucking cool.
I did not like what it revealed to you.
Oh, it did. Yeah, and she didn't have heels on. Like, she was definitely in pretty much close to flats,
like, which is, I mean, that's fine, but like,
were like orange furry,
she looked stunted. Mm-hmm. Like height wise, like the boots were too chunky and too tall to where it like just made her look like stumpy.
Yeah.
And it was not a flattering look, to the point that it almost looked like the look that she borrowed from Plane for her makeover person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that it's the same fucking color orange. Awful color. That color orange can go to hell. But it didn't, after we, because say what you will about Plane's performance, her bodysuits, plural, looked amazing.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it was a clear downgrade visually. Like, just the looks.
But in terms of energy.
From Nymphia to then Plane to then Safira. But there was so much energy. Her dancing was phenomenal. Like, there was passion.
Yeah.
There was give me passion. There was footwork. All of this.
Yeah.
But it's just, it was great. It was clearly a second to Nymphia, though.
Yeah, I would definitely. Nymphia is far and away, but Saphira's was very close up there. I loved when Rue was interviewing her, and this is where, again, we talked about, I feel like Saphira really could be the champion. Like, the reason you would want to crown Saphira is because of her voice and her ability to, like, be an advocate. I know she went to, Philadelphia City Council for, like, presenting her with an award recently. But I love that RuPaul asked, what does the world need to know about drag queens? And Saphira goes, the world needs to know that drag queens are just here to spread love and to entertain. And if you are afraid of drag, then you are afraid of freedom. And I thought that was such a great fucking line.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want her to, like, be on the, like, front lines of shit. Like, she's...
Well, and it's so... And this is not to shit on Nymphia. But it's so strange to go from an, like, out-and-out activist like Sasha Colby to Nymphia Wind, who is just a fabulously glamorous girl.
Yeah.
But I just don't see her doing the activism work that Sasha did.
Probably not. I mean, yeah, probably not.
But to me, that's a big part of being the reigning queen of Drag Race. Like, part of picking who's going to win is who's going to represent the drag on the world stage.
Yeah. I think that should play a not insignificant factor.
Right.
You know what I mean? And also talking about mothers, her mother, Saphira's mom, was a fucking delight. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh my God. Did you see the clip where after, when they did the live, when they actually got to watch the finale afterwards, they did some performances as well at whatever club they were in. And Saphira's mom, like, watching her from the audience, just dancing along, was like the most charming ass thing in the world.
Yeah.
And she tells this amazing story about, like, finding out that Saphira did drag for the first time because she had gotten Saphira had gotten her this dress for formal, and then she went and looked in her closet and it spelled funky because Saphira wore it for drag. And it was just the way she told the story. It was just hilarious. Well, and
it's the fact that the second that question was asked, Saphira just starts cackling because she knows what story is coming.
Yeah, it was really delightful and beautiful. So a couple more things from the show. I'd like also that they are doing, because last year they did the awarding the Giving Us Lifetime Achievement Award to Bob Mackie. I love that they're continuing that trend. Mm-hmm. And this year they gave it to Cassandra Peterson, aka Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, who is just, I mean, she looks gorgeous still.
Yeah.
Like, she, you know, she's a stunning woman. And I love, I think we had talked about it maybe at some point this season, where it's like, how do you weave in sort of like education about older drag culture and like gay culture for like the newer generation that's watching this show. And I think this is a great vehicle in which to do that.
Oh yeah. And I didn't know, like, I think looking at her, you kind of think maybe she's had some tutelage from drag queens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I didn't know that she literally started working in the same clubs next to drag queens. And that's literally how she was brought up.
Right.
Like, it's so interesting to hear more about cishet women who still are being brought up in the culture, even though they're not necessarily part of the community.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing with Michelle Visage. I didn't know until very recently that she literally came up through ballroom in New York.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that she had been a adopted member of the community for a very long time, but I didn't know that. I thought the first time that she really got any sort of notoriety was through her girl group.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember the name of right
Seduction.
Now. Seduction, yes.
But like, it's also, both in those cases, it's like, I like the idea of like people who didn't necessarily, who were talented people, but never really got the due, so to speak, and were just, you know, scratching and clawing in an industry, but then having this experience that was allowing them to find a certain niche to where they then become like Elvira became like the biggest fucking, one of the biggest fucking stars at the time.
Well, I mean, not even just of the time, like, she is one of the most iconic faces in the horror genre.
Yeah.
ever.
Any, even if you're not into horror, you know who she is. And yeah. That's like important.
Like, especially when you're talking about ladies of horror, it is Elvira, and it is like she is up there with, you know, oh, now I'm gonna look stupid. Adam's family, Morticia Adams, yep. And Lily Munster, and like those iconic characters. She is one of those. That is a Hall of Fame that is like beyond.
Yeah, it's really great. The top two queens, or top three queens, I should say, then return to the main stage where they're going to narrow it down to a top two, and it ends up being narrowed down to Saphira and Nymphia, and Plane ending up placing in third place. They do award Plane $25,000 from Cash App, which this was the point where we were also like, man, they're dishing out lots of money this season.
Yeah.
We'll get to it with like the Miss Congeniality thing. It's like so much money is like being dealt out. I do find it slightly, I don't know how you fix it, maybe switching the numbers up. I do find it kind of frustrating that Morphine technically made more money than Plane. Plane only gets $25,000 for placing third.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to Morphine, who did win the lip sync Lollapalooza, and that's tougher, but Morphine got $50,000. And yeah. So how, you know what I mean? Like, that is kind of a frustrating thing to me. And then what, who? Oh my God, how much did they get? How much did the runner-up get?
Runner-up also got 25.
25 as well, okay. And then they were dishing out like everyone gets 2,000, like just general. And then the Miss Congeniality gets 10,000. It's like they have so much fucking money. I'm sorry to like dish out. Apparently Cash App is just like, here you go. Like, do what you got to do.
Yeah. I will say, if I remember correctly, I saw a number that was over $400,000 that was awarded this season.
Yeah.
Through, you know, many challenge wins and
that doesn't even, like, didn't Saphira get like a trip to like Puerto Vallarta and like,
oh yeah, Saphira ended up, let's see,
there was an infographic I saw someone post with.
Yes, Nymphia ended up with $216,950 mm-hmm. between wins and the actual crown and the 2,000 that everyone who's not Miss Congeniality won, and
yeah.
Saphira got 60,400. Plane got actually, oh yeah, no, she did, because Plane ended up with 43,000, where Morphine ended up with 50,700.
Yeah, that's what, it's just like if we're looking at it as like gold, silver, bronze.
Yeah,
like that is a, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can get like give the other girls money, don't get me wrong, but it's like I don't love that like Plane technically got like fourth place in theory, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair though, if it does come down to lip sync performances, Morphine did blow her out of the water.
Sure. And and she did like three lip syncs in a row, and that's very impressive. I just think maybe doing 50,000 for second place and then like, or for third place and then 25 for like the lip sync Lollapalooza is probably a smarter idea in my view. They do a quick package just about like mothers and like everyone's experience with their mothers on the cast. Father, step it up.
that's
all I could think of. It's like, yeah, mothers are doing the work that you guys are fucking slacking on.
Well, look, since everyone went like completely feral about Evie Oddly's dad, I think they're just going to leave dads out of it.
Sure. Because
if you remember, there was like literal campaigns online to like find his online presence and like try to find more pictures of him. It was like, when I say feral, I'm not kidding. People yeah. went nuts.
We're just all a bunch of dick pigs out here. Just trying to make our best of it. And then, oh my God. So then Sasha comes out, Sasha Colby. I love that they gave her a performance to do.
Oh yes.
She does a lip sync to Her by Megan Thee Stallion. And oh my God, she looks amazing.
Oh yeah.
Her makeup here was so stunning and snatched. It was like wild.
Yeah.
I realized in this performance, I need a Sasha Colby Super Bowl halftime performance.
Yeah.
This, she could do it. And I really think she like, it's just like, it's otherworldly, like the way she moves and just her like, the inherent sexiness that she just exudes, like, in her presence is just, like, you can't teach that.
Could you imagine, because they've had this tour around the U.S. that's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's some of the most iconic black queens from Drag Race. Tace was on this. Shea Coulee, yeah. Monet Exchange. You know, a lot of different iconic queens, right? Can you imagine if they did something similar with AAPI?
Yeah.
Queens? Like, you've got queens from Thailand who could be on there, right? You've got, isn't there one in the Philippines now?
Yeah, there's Philippines. Well, right. Marina Summers.
Marina Summers on that tour, right? I'm pretty sure that Hawaiian counts as Pacific Islander because unless...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
If America hadn't stolen it, then it would still be part of Pacific Islands.
Long story.
But yeah, you know what I mean?
There's the talent for it.
There's space for it. Like with the performance we just got from Nymphia Wind and then this performance from Sasha, like, holy fuck.
Yeah, I agree.
That would be an amazing performance.
And then so when we come back from commercial break after Sasha's performance, then they bring out Sasha for her finale crowning look. They cut to a woman in the audience who, when Sasha comes out,
she completely creeped her panties in that really, moment.
You know those old school cartoons where it's like a dog or whatever, and the eyes bulge and the tongue rolls out? Uh-huh. Like, it was that. And I get it. Because, oh my fucking God, this was the most wild thing I've ever seen. This, I think, from my standard, I always view, when we're talking about the previous winners passing on the crown looks, to me, it's always been Violet Chachki. Violet has always been, like, that is the look that is the quintessential look, the sort of, like, royal, like, sort of, like, drapey thing with the fucking prosthetic crown to make it look like it's coming out of her skull. It's like there's no topping it. This, I think, at the very least, matches it, if not tops it.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, the fact that she has earrings that are pasties.
Yeah, it's like, oh, her earrings are for fucking... it's just so beautiful. And it's like... And also, it's not just that. It's not just the gag of that. The dress is gorgeous. It's like the headpiece. Gorgeous. Like, everything about it is so fucking good.
Oh, I'm thinking about it now. And can you imagine how hard that must have been pulling on her ears?
Yeah,
because it's not like her breasts were at rest,
right? No,
they were defying gravity in that,
and there was no leeway or whatever. Like, it was just taut.
Yeah,
and
so, it was a feat of engineering that I'm surprised it didn't rip her earlobes off.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of support system had to be in place for that?
I it took me a while to recover. It really did when I saw it. It was,
yeah.
Oh man. They then do, they have all the queens come out to do, not a performance. It's kind of just like a walk and pose to Power.
It was very pageanty.
Yeah. 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 Oh my God. What's the Brooke Shields? Not Brooke Shields.
Not Brooke Shields. You're thinking, the movie Miss Congeniality, with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, Brooke Shields, Sandra Bullock, same difference. not really, but that's fine. But like, so they all walk out, these like blue, white, and red numbers, very gorgeous. And then Malaysia Baby Doll Fox comes out to present Miss Congeniality, dressed as an eagle, which is amazing. Look stunning as well.
Oh, yeah.
So we get a tie this year for Miss Congeniality. First time we ever had an instance like that. It ends up being Tsunami Muse and Sophia Cristal. I love Sophia running out from the back.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting is that this is only the second time in Drag Race history where we've had someone that is in the final two
win
Miss Congeniality. And the first time was
Nina Flowers.
Nina Flowers in season one.
Yeah. So, I saw a lot of people be like, once Safira won Miss Congeniality, they were like, oh, wait, is she not going to win the season? My instinct was, oh, is she going to be the first to be Congeniality and
right
winner?
Yeah.
Like, it was. I think we even said it before, that would have made perfect fucking sense, honestly, because Sub-Zero did deserve, because Tsunami as well. I mean, here's the thing. Whoever wins deserves it because it's voted on by the cast.
Right.
And I actually much prefer that. I'm so glad they switched from that because it was getting to
a point. Come on, fan favorite.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The Valentina thing was like a case of like, yeah, we need to like switch this because it doesn't make sense for...
Right. Because it's about who is like supporting each other in the workroom. It's about who is... all about creating a sisterhood of the girls on this cast. And Valentina got voted that because
everyone loved her
watching the show, but she was a raging bitch backstage. So like there's no, and that's not my opinion. That is the opinion of the queens that were on the season with her.
Right.
So like,
she seems great now.
She seems great now. I mean, look, they wouldn't have given her Drag Race Mexico if it wasn't for, like, Rue trusts her to a certain degree, even though she won't show her lips in a lip sync.
I was going to say, it wasn't for that Rent performance.
You forgot
about that, right?
Here's the thing, they forgot about Rent Live.
They also sent her, Rent Live was a setup for all of them, I feel. That was not Valentina's fault. I thought this was a good miscongeniality. And I like Tsunami as well, so it was good to see her like get that recognition.
Yeah.
So then, Nymphia and Safira then come out for their final lip sync performance to determine the winner. Safira in this like giant blue gown, which I was like, oh my, it didn't look like a tearaway to where I was like, oh wow, like how is she gonna move in this? Like, you know, genuinely. I like when it doesn't feel like a tearaway.
Yes.
Nymphia's felt slightly more like that, even though it was still a very like composed look. It took me halfway through the lip sync being like, oh, it's Boba Tea.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why it took me that long. Like, she was like the Empress of Boba Tea or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. What gagged me was the, I think it was a round off is what it's technically called.
Well, oh, you're talking in the lip sync.
The reveal.
Can we talk about before that?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So we have to start. So literally our reactions as we were watching this, they get onto the stage. RuPaul does her intro about like, this is your last chance to secure the crown. You were asked to prepare a lip sync performance to Padampa. And before she even finished the sentence, we went, ah!
I had a full on meltdown. Finally. And honestly, I really hope next season that we get tension.
Here's the thing. Okay.
Tension would be so fucking good.
This now has been tested a couple times. Every finale song should be a Kylie Minogue song.
Because
every
they've avoided
single
her.
Time.
They've avoided doing her for so long.
Yeah.
And she's got such a good catalog.
Fantastic catalog. Because it was the finale song for UK versus the World this past couple months ago. And it was fan-fucking-tastic. Every Kylie Minogue song could be a fucking finale song.
Yes.
It's.
And when you run out of Kylie Minogue songs, start over.
Yeah. Well, there's been such a dearth. We haven't had a Kylie Minogue song. I don't think since until season 11, 12, like some recent.
Which is wild.
She's such a gay icon.
She's not just a gay icon, but she's been around for so long.
Yeah.
Like we said, she's got a catalog that's miles deep. And that's not because she's just churning them out every couple seconds.
Right.
Like, she's been doing this a long time and has developed a long list of quality music that is so fucking cunty.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect for a lip sync, and I don't know why we haven't used it before.
Right. Let's get in down to the actual lip sync. So, it starts... Okay, there's a lot of talk about, like, that... There's a lot of talk that Safira blew this lip sync. I don't think that's fully the case.
She was just wearing blue. That's fine.
Right. I think it was... very even. I will say that I felt Nymphia had the first part, and I thought Safira towards the end was coming up from behind to where I was genuinely didn't know where they were going to go.
I didn't know where they were going to go. I was expecting both of them to win at one point.
Yeah.
I was like, literally the lip sync finished, and I turned to you and I said, I would be fine with a double crowning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be totally fine with the double crowning.
Now, I will say, so they start the song. Safira then reveals that she has vampire fangs. I didn't get it, the choice. You were trying to say, like, well, listen to the lyrics of the song. Like, there, you, like the thing about, like, I'll be in your head all weekend, you were like, well, everyone knows that vampires, when they, you know, bite into somebody, that they then become obsessed with them. I'm like, okay, but that's like a loose, like, fucking...
It's not that loose. Like... It's literally a song about seduction. What is the number one thing you're thinking of when you think seduction? It's vampires. I guess.
My thing is, she didn't carry it over. Fine. But it's also, it's like, we saw the fangs, but then, spoiler alert, she's just in like a yellow ponytail in like a fucking dance outfit. It just didn't like... If you're going to do that,
that's
then
fair.
Do it throughout.
Right. Like, there should have been... There should have been... more active nods to it.
Yeah.
Like, there was a choice, and I think it was a good choice. I think it was underdeveloped.
Right. As opposed to Nymphia, who times out her part when they do the shivers and butterflies lyric. This, like, giant overcoat that she has on, this, like, emperor kind of, like, vibe, opens it up and it's just black balloons that all float out. I don't know how she kept them under there.
No, I have no idea.
Like, it was really impressive. And literally just everyone goes, oh my God, that shit happens.
People say that that's when she won the lip sync. I don't think that is.
No, not that alone. Not that alone.
I think it was the second reveal.
So yeah, she then takes off the jacket. She has this like dress on underneath. She does a little bit of voguing, which was really great. Like, again, to see Nymphia lip sync and dance, yeah, when we hadn't seen it all season. But then you were like, rewind that back. At like the big like point of the song, she does a reveal out of a cartwheel. Like, she, yeah, literally cartwheels with one hand as she rips the dress off with the other.
Like, literally the other hand snap. Like, she's feet to the sky.
Yeah.
And the other hand that's not on the ground snatches at her chest and throws the... Like, it's... so quick. Well, and the thing is that you can see her slightly preparing for it, yeah, before that. But if you're not looking for it, you don't realize that she's untying something behind her neck. You don't realize that she's, you know, undoing something here and there, because it's just part of the choreo.
Yeah.
And then you see her do that. And then in a one fluid moment, motion, like, grabs the costume, flings it off of herself with one hand.
Yeah.
And it's just, and now we're in a completely different look. I didn't even clock it until afterwards, halfway through. I'm like, this is not the same outfit. There was a reveal somewhere and I missed it. And the thing is they didn't even like really clock it with the camera, because
no,
they were focused on Saphira with that. And she like goes across in the background and you're like, holy fuck, that's a reveal.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, the part also, well, two things.
One, I think that's when she won.
I agree. Also with the balloons, like, I saw a lot of people from like, okay, like from like a production standpoint, was anyone terrified with like all,
yes,
those balloons floating up into the,
yes,
light?
Oh my God, because stage lights are hot.
Yes.
Like, burn you hot. I was terrified we were going to get gunshots.
Yeah. So, oh my, but so like, and Saphira is now out of the dress into this like sort of like one piece number. The part where everyone's loving the part where like at one point Nymphia just scurries behind Saphira to like run to the other end of the stage. Like, she's, it's almost like she sees someone on like the other side and like runs,
oh,
towards,
yeah,
them. It's hilarious. The Saphira back bend, this was also great camera work. Saphira back bending to where we don't even see her head. And then she just comes back up and it's a ponytail.
Yeah.
Like, it was fantastic.
It was almost as good and seamless as the wig reveal that Morphine did last week.
Yeah. And then Saphira is like, at this point, Saphira had to, I think, no, I have to turn it the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just does the kick, kick, kick. Like, I'm doing like 20 kicks just, yeah, in a row, no break. Like,
yeah.
And then, and then the big ending of the song, and they fucking land in a split at the same fucking time, like parallel to each other.
It was so good.
And then everyone's like, giant ovation. Everyone's exciting. Rue's laughing. Everyone thinks it's great. And the song is done. And they're still doing, like,
they're still stunting on the stage.
Nymphia's rolling. Saphira does a kick. Like, we're going to keep going. Like, it was amazing.
Kick, kick the song on again.
Yeah. Oh, it was so good. I honestly didn't know how it was going to go.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And so they do the build up. Rue announces Nymphia wins. And it was like, we were like, oh, wow. Like, she really pulled it out. But like, I think, again, like I said in the beginning, from the performance, from the lip sync, I think Nymphia did it. I really think that, like, she also got the most, like, sort of fan response from like, the hashtags.
And I think that nowadays that is playing more into it than it did before.
It is, but I do think, like, she, if you can make the strongest argument that she delivered the best in this finale.
Yeah.
And so therefore deserved to win. And I think that's how it should go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Plus, Pennsylvania's already had two winners.
Yeah. We could use another.
Give it to Taiwan.
Yeah, sure.
Not that Taiwan, like, didn't earn it, like, clearly, because this is the Olympics.
And
she's
the first Southeast Asian, I believe, to win it on main season.
Or no, East Asian, not Southeast Asian, because Raja is Southeast Asian. Yeah.
Congratulations to Nymphia. Really well done. Great finale, great season. All Stars is signing up in a couple weeks. Oh, man.
Can we talk for a second about All Stars?
That's sure. Cause I mean, I do need a break, but like
it's $200,000. Yay. But it's charity.
They're doing it for charity, which I guess the queen seemed fine with. I don't know.
There's a rumor that the winner also gets $100,000, but yeah. I don't know if that's true. There's also a rumor, that is being corroborated by Pandora Box, who then told me directly on Twitter, don't you think I have connections? And when I asked for receipts, I was like, look, I get it. It's a rumor. And like, you probably hear it from Chanel, directly. But like, if I'm going to go out here in the world and report on this, I need like,
we have journalistic integrity here at a gay
identity. Right. I need like receipts.
None
actual
of this radar
receipts.
Online bullshit.
But you know what I mean.
Right. But you were saying that they said that they getting like
a costume stipend,
right?
As well as an appearance fee,
which I think evens it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had heard a lot of things that it was like very difficult to get queens on All Stars nowadays. Like a lot of queens don't want to do it anymore.
Well, Candy Muse is like it's. Because we complained so much about eliminations.
Yeah.
And you will notice that no one's getting eliminated this season. Eliminated? What was that?
Sure.
Eliminated this season. Well, and I think that that's correct.
Well, that's the thing, because last season was a mess.
It was
seemingly
a
behind
mess.
The scenes. It was like
not even behind the scenes. They couldn't even cut around it. They had to include it as a storyline on the season because it was so prominent.
Yeah, I don't know about the charity aspect going forward, like with All Stars, but definitely the non-eliminations and the like doing a stipend and stuff like that. I think is a good way to go about it.
I agree. Well, and the thing is that it's funny because somebody put a list of top. Drag queen or drag winners, drag race winners. Like you realize that Jinx Monsoon has won so much fucking money because she won her season and All Stars, all winners. And it's like, and all the money that she got from like challenge wins and things like that. So it's like, it's crazy the amount of money some of these have won. And then BB Sahara Benet's over here with 20 grand from season one.
Honestly,
it's like,
it's not fair.
It's not fair. And which is why I think one of the things it's like, well, okay, fine. Winning your season, you get your $200,000. But if you're coming back to All Stars, you're doing it for charity, no eliminations, and you're getting an appearance fee. So that way it's really about showcasing drag.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, at this point, it's almost like a celebrity season of something. And that's why it really makes sense for it to be charity. And I didn't really like it when I first heard about it. But the more I've sat with it, the more it feels correct.
Yeah, I think that's a better lane for them to be in to make it semi-novelty. You know what I mean? And honestly, it will make people put more into their original seasons.
Yeah.
Like, and not think like, well, I'm going to get an All-Star season. And like, I think it's the way to go about it, to where it's just like a celebration of drag, and it's nice and it's enjoyable and, you know, all that stuff. They said Chanel and Roxy, though, have teased like there will be like drama on the season. So I don't know where that comes from.
I mean,
if you're competing for charity, but I don't know.
Sure. But also like Chanel and Roxy are on the season. Yeah. Of course there's going to be fucking drama.
Gonna be honest, Chanel, it's going to be good.
Chanel doesn't give a flying fuck. She will cuss you out to your face. Yeah. And I love the return of that era of Drag Race.
I'm really hoping we finally get a full, like, deep appreciation for Roxy Andrews and what she contributes, because we kind of got it All Stars 2 a little bit. I think here we can finally, like, appreciate her, because I love Roxy Andrews. Like, I loved her for a long time.
Yeah.
And, like, she is hilarious as fuck. She's, like, classic drag. She's just, like, it's fantastic.
Have you seen her confessional look?
Oh, yeah, where she looks like fucking she's Ken in the Barbie movie.
Oh, she looks like the love child between Adam Lambert and Donald Trump.
A little bit.
Because, like, the way that she's dressed is very Adam Lambert, but girl is orange.
Sure.
Orange.
I would have toned it down maybe slightly, but she
blends into the backdrop.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Anyways, but we'll be talking about it when it comes out, and we'll be diving into all of that. So it should be exciting. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Man.
That's right.
Do you want something new to put on your reading list? Are you feeling your holiday spirit grow while also being astutely politically in tune?
Then you'll want to pick up The Santa Strike, a new book by Shanna Hamaker.
While home in Midland, Texas on a weekend visit with the eccentric uncle who raised him, Marion Wachowski, otherwise known as Mary, discovers a long-forgotten letter Uncle Joe wrote to Santa Claus. Mary keeps it to share with his girlfriend Lindsay and his best friend Tommy. At first, they consider the letter to be nothing more than a silly lark. What kind of grown man would write a letter to Santa? But soon, Mary and Lindsay find themselves caught in a much larger mystery, concerning many, many more letters to Santa, all surrounding the crisis of gun violence in America.
You can order The Santa Strike now on Amazon, available both on Kindle and in paperback.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at SidekickMediaServices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His Envy. Let's head back to Massachusetts, where Jasmine introduces the surprise secret house guest who Bria immediately feels like she needs to compete with to be the world's biggest baby on Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
New episode of Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Like we said in the intro, this is I wouldn't say it's an uneventful episode, but I do think it's, like, lighter in parts. Like, it's not like, there's not, like, a big major story arc of drama. There's, like, light moments of drama in moments. But, like, I still think it's a really delightful episode because of the cast. I need you fuckers to start fucking watching this show, because I am so worried it's going to get canceled.
Yes.
I am so worried about that, and it does not deserve to be canceled.
It's literally the best thing on Bravo right now.
Yeah. They did get it. We did find out that they are going to do a reunion, which I am
Thank
very happy
God.
About.
Thank
God. I understand when it's, like, a new show, they're like, oh, like, let's test it out. We don't know if it's, like, you know. But, like, here, absolutely. Like, it's deserved. We come back in the episode from Jasmine sobbing at the table at dinner because of Bria's shit. And she's just, her going, I'm going through a lot right now, and I'm not trying to make it about me. Excuse me for not thinking to ask you first about Mariah. I just wish people could figure things out on their own. And Bria goes, I know. I'm like, oh, Bria, okay. Like,
and Bria was really pissing me off because, like, I didn't even realize until recently, because I don't, like, listen to all the podcasts and all the stuff, all of this shit is made up about
That's
Mariah.
That's the thing.
Like, she literally, okay, so they filmed this last August, probably.
Yeah.
August, like, late July, early August of 2023. In June of August, on June 5th last year, Bria was on Kempire's podcast.
Yeah.
where she is asked about Mariah and their relationship. And she says, we're in a good place. We respect each other. I have no ill will towards her.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty like blunt and straightforward of just like, it's good.
Well, but not only that, but then Kempire asks her if you get a season two, because it wasn't greenlit yet. Said, if you get a season two, would you have a problem with Mariah coming back? And she said, I would love for her to come back. I've said that in numerous interviews.
Yeah.
So why are you mad?
I maintain, and I feel I kind of said this at the time, I maintain it has nothing to do about Mariah. It has to do about they did the Phil one first. They brought up Phil coming in first. It was roundly rejected by everybody. And then when Mariah, then they do bring up Mariah's, and immediately everyone's like, the same people who were upset about it were like, I'm totally fine with Mariah coming back. I actually would love it. And that's what pissed Brie off. It had nothing to do with Mariah. It had nothing to do with having actual like issue with her or worry about what Mariah was going to do or any of that. It's like what fucking Jasmine brought up last episode. Like, Summer fucking checked your ass in your bedroom, like fully shoved you, and like you're here on this vacation with her.
Yeah. Well, and so for receipts purposes, just because I actually bring receipts when I bring a fact from the outside, it's from the episode on June 5th, 2023. And the section talking that I just quoted starts at 3 minutes and 43 seconds. So it's like right at the beginning of the interview.
I love that you literally work cited this.
I did, because look, like, we dream of becoming one of the big Bravo podcasts. And if we're going to do that, we need to know what the fuck we're actually talking
about.
Come
on our podcast to have your words be used against you, like, months down the line.
Honestly. But my issue is that I love how it all got blown back on Jasmine. This explains why Jasmine had already booked the tickets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she thought they were fine.
Sure.
Because it's not like it's somebody else on the cast, right? It's her best friend and the only two people, and one of the only two people on the cast that she fucks with right now.
Now, I will say, you could say that Jasmine should have had a more specific discussion with Brie about it. I still think you could still have done that. But I, like, again, with that quote that you read, it's not out of the ordinary, the idea that Mariah might come back. But she was on the fucking, like, she was on the official cast last season, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's like, it's not, I don't know.
And I don't know. I wouldn't have even necessarily felt like I needed to have a discussion with her, because she literally said verbatim, I would love for her to come back. And I have said that in multiple interviews.
Sure.
So it's like, why do I then need to check with you another time?
Yeah. Maybe not even a check, but like just a, I don't know. So it's like I said, I think it's Bria's ego. It's not actual issues.
Yeah.
And Jasmine talks some more in her confessional about being worried about, like, so a lot of the emotion that was coming out here was about, like, also she's worried about Silas's deployment and if it can be extended and stuff like that. And
right.
Which is a very serious thing for, like, people whose spouses are in the military and, like, you know.
Well, and not even just that, but that Silas is not going to be there when their child is born.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get to come home until after they literally send the army the birth certificate.
Which is so fucked up, by the way. Like, I think that's, I really don't like that
oh,
is
yeah.
how they go about
it. It is fucked. And the thing is that you don't even get the birth certificate until several weeks after.
Right.
It's not like you check out and at the front desk they hand it to you.
Yeah.
It's,
but like, what are they, like, what is the military doing, like, for like fraud? Oh, you're gonna fake have a baby? Like, no, like, stop. Like,
also, he's in Germany. He's not in a war zone.
Yeah.
Like, send him the fuck home. He's fine.
We're okay, guys. Like, you know. Oh my god, as this is happening, Amir is in the still at the bar with Jordan.
It's honestly been 80 years since Germany was an issue. I think you can send him home.
Sure, but anything
I'm just saying.
And also, I didn't realize when Amir ordered those shots, they're like extra large shots. They're like the ones that are, and he just downs one fully, and Jordan's face is just like, shit. Okay.
Well, I mean, they were actively trying to avoid going back to the table.
Sure. Bria's still going. She goes, last year I was disrespected in numerous different ways, and I just don't feel comfortable. And the way Jasmine goes, okay, all right. She does it in this like baby voice that was so like,
yeah.
All right, Bria, we get it.
She's just tired. She's done.
Preston jumps in and goes, what would have happened, though, if I would have said no and the rest of the house said yes to Phil? And Bria goes, I would never let Phil in there because you told me personally how you felt.
Bullshit.
I don't agree with Bria. That is not what Bria would have
because
done.
If that was the case, you wouldn't have brought it up.
Right. In the first place. But also, you kept pushing it. You
right.
Like, and you were like, I don't get it. I don't get why. You said it in your confessional. I don't get why. It was just words. Like, so fuck off, Bria. Like, that's rewriting history. But
and then even after this fact, later on during the episode, she tries to still mend fences between Preston and Phil.
So that I don't mind, but like...
Sure, but like, I don't mind that she did that, but I don't believe that she did that for the sake of mending fences. I believe that she did that to get Preston to allow him back in the house.
Yeah, which I don't think he... Well, I think that's not still not happening, so...
No, I agree, but that, I believe, is Bria's motivation.
Yeah, Bria goes, but if Phil was to do what Mariah did to me, to you, it would be a different story. And Preston goes, sadly, I don't think so. Because his name was even brought up at all.
Like, right.
Bria then goes, who are you calling out right now? And Jasmine goes, he's not calling anyone out. Bria goes, but I had his best interest for his feelings. And nobody respects that you don't fucking fuck with that. So don't fucking fuck with me. And then Preston Leary goes, okay, no one's scared of you. Like, stop raising your voice. Bria then storms off ranting, and Preston's telling everyone, look, everyone feels the same way about her. Everything is fake. She's a brat, and we know it. She, like,
yeah.
It's like, I like that he kind of, it's kind, he's done with Bria, but it's also in, like, a laughing way of just like, girl, no one takes you fucking seriously.
Yeah.
Nick literally is trying to reason with Bria, goes, stop yelling, please. We look insane right now. We look nuts. And Bria goes, I don't care. Nick, as much as I get annoyed by Nick, like, generally, I thought Nick in particular was very hilarious this episode. He had a lot of moments.
Yeah.
Bria goes, I'm ready to go home. Can we call an Uber? And then as she says this, Amir then walks in with all the shots and goes, wait, what happened?
It was very, much the Donald Glover walking into the room and everything's on fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, I missed a lot, I guess. I'm like, you knew they were fighting. Shut up. Bria then immediately downs one of the shots before they leave, and it's like, oh, okay, that's great. Like, put more alcohol in your system right now. Nick in his confessional goes, this is crazy. I actually left my salad. Terrible. Honestly, I've been like, when you're like, that is, there was nothing worse than leaving leftovers you were wanting to take.
Honestly, I might have taken that bowl and brought it back in the morning.
Yeah. They get into the Sprinter vans to head back to the house. Preston's ranting in the car that he's in, going, look, Bria, in my honest opinion, is impossible. It's like her hurt has to be worse than everyone else's. As he says this, they cut over to the other car, and what is Bria doing? That's why I'm yelling, because I'm hurt.
She's the Sheena of this cast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very clearly the Sheena.
Does
that make Milo Summer Moon?
Sure. We'll get to Milo. Oh my god, they get back to the house. Shanice tries to leave, but I guess she like stubs her heel or something, and the way she goes, and then like it's one of the things where she just goes stiff and like collapses in the back of the car. And then I didn't even write it down. Bria's ranting to Alex about some bullshit. Oh, she was saying stuff about like, well, when Jasmine was crying and you like something about like she was basically upset that they didn't have her back against Jasmine. And it's like Jasmine was in a pool of fucking tears crying. Like,
yeah,
you want us to double down? Okay, Bria. Like, I think Bria was actually really pissed when Jasmine started crying because it was like, oh, now I look like the bad guy, even though...
Because you are. You're the bad guy here.
Yeah.
Embrace the villainhood.
But I really think there was some, like, energy connection or something like that, because as Bria is ranting in this car, we then cut up to the house. Milo is in Bria's room, fucking everything up. Ripping her makeup down from the desk. Fucking getting into that shit. He's destroying this toilet paper that's on the roll. I think he fed off of like her like and like her anger that she was like having in the car and stuff.
She must have FaceTimed him
something. But also it was her room, so I like, yeah.
Well, but the bathroom is the one that is shared with Jasmine.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because if you'll remember, she specifically said, You could have told me about Mariah coming. We share a bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Bria goes, I'm going to be quiet for you guys, and I want to see if you guys will speak up. But if you don't, I'm going home. And Noelle goes, Bria, Bria, and she slams the door.
But also, like, this is just Bria walking or running away from a situation that she's not winning in again.
Yeah,
Amir, for the eighth time this season.
I love when Mir kind of like talks Noelle down. She's like, that's just every normal time that she's drunk. Like, that's what happens. Like,
and sober sometimes. Like, I just...
They get back into the house. Milo is like barking from the room. Bria's about to go upstairs. Nick hears the barking and says something like, he's crying for you. Just like offhandedly. And Bria goes, I don't care. Fucking drag queen, hoe, whatever the fuck I am. And I was like, what? The way she explains it later, I was like, oh, wow. She was in like fucking...
Tunnel vision.
Yeah, something. Jasmine checks on Shanice in her room about like the stuff that was brought up about like the Alex thing at the dinner. Jasmine goes, I just want to acknowledge that I did contribute to a re-traumatizing experience. And I'm sorry for that, for bringing it up last year at that dinner or whatever, which again, I don't even think Jasmine, I think they overdid that with Jasmine of like, how dare she like broach this issue that was like clearly brewing in the house.
But yeah, because they tried to act like there weren't cameras.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, we know that y'all were having little chats around the house about this. Like, at least three or four different conversations.
And part of the issue
before
was,
it came up at dinner.
Part of the issue was that people were feeling like, oh, Alex is talking about this behind Shanice's back, and that is contributing to this perception of Shanice, and so therefore, let's bring it out on the table. And
that's
so,
why Jasmine brought it up. It's not like they're trying to act like the first time anyone talked about it on the trip was when Jasmine brought it up.
No.
That's simply not the truth.
Yeah. Shanice is crying and she goes, I just have to pay $5,000 for a lawyer and I just got fired from my job and I have to take a loan out. And Jasmine hugs her to like comfort her and stuff like that. It's really, I was watching Emily and Kendrick, Emily from She's Speaking, talk about this where it's just like, it's not a funny situation because I've been there, but it's just the way Shanice delivers it. It's just like really funny. Like, Bria then comes back downstairs and Nick is down there. Nick asks, you know, you just blacked on me going upstairs, which I don't know what that phrase means, actually. I think
maybe blacked out.
Yeah.
That's like a shortened version.
Bria goes, I did because I thought that you said something I didn't like. And Nick goes, I said Milo's been crying. She goes, I thought you said you're a hoe, stop crying. And Nick goes, what? Also, Nick doesn't even talk like that. Like,
at all.
It doesn't make any sense. Bria goes, are you mad? And Nick goes, I'm confused. And Bria goes, I'm confused too. I'm confused by a lot of things that are happening. Okay, Bria. Summer then comes down to also talk with Bria and Nick to check on her. And Summer goes, are you cool right now? Like, I know you got heated. You're the most fun, calm human being I've ever met in my life. Summer.
When? Find one frame.
Like even if you've seen Bria in calm moments, the most calm.
Well, yeah, I will give her credit. I think she's probably pretty calm when she's sleeping. That is probably the only time and the only footage we have of that calmness on this trip.
I also love that Summer says this as later in this episode she's going to fight with Bria because Bria annoys the fuck out of her. Nick goes, I'll give you guys your privacy. And Bria goes, sit the fuck down. Because you're not present for a lot of shit that goes on. Nick's like, well, because you guys live upstairs. Bria goes, who cares? Come upstairs. Come hang out in my room. Take a nap with me. Nick goes, what? And then Bria then explains, you've never heard of sleep support? Which, is this an actual thing or is this some bullshit she made up?
Okay, so I don't know if... I've never heard of sleep support. I've never heard it called that.
She's basically talking about, like, I want intimacy with, like, a friend. You know what I mean? Like the thing... not have sex with you or whatever, but, like intimate elements of, like, I don't know, cuddling or, like, sort of, like, comforting and all that stuff that you would get with a partner, but it's just a friend.
Okay, so I would like to remind everyone that this is the same person who freaked the fuck out on Shanice for having her top off around her boyfriend when there was nothing sexual going on. It was just, she was just hanging out with everyone and took her top off because she was drunk.
Yeah. And she's Shanice. I think Shanice does that in her natural sober state.
Right. That's just Shanice. But also Bria knew that.
Yeah.
And also keep in mind that this is the same Nick that just last episode was being told,
don't be too handsy.
You're way too handsy with the women when you're drunk. And last season we didn't even know he had a girlfriend until she showed up for the finale party.
Yeah. Bria's telling Alex about this and Bria goes, Alex, are you down for sleep support? And Bria goes, yeah, that sounds like some freak shit.
Like the psychology is there, right? Like that makes sense. I've just never heard it called sleep support and the double standards on what's okay between these friends is a little weird to me.
Yeah. Nick goes, I have a girlfriend. I can't be anyone's sleep support. If someone knocks on the door and Simon answers the door and he says, sir, who are you? I'm sleep support. Sleep support is leaving with two black eyes.
Uh-huh.
Nick was hilarious. This is where I was like, Nick, as much as it's like, well, also you're not the person to say it when you do have a girlfriend and you are being like the way you are. It was funny for you to be like, do you know how stupid you sound, Bria?
I will say Nick is being a lot better this season.
I think so too. He seems receptive-ish.
He seems like he got his ass handed to him after last season.
Probably. okay, so they go to bed. We wake up the next morning. Amir's just falling over in a hammock, which I've been there. He can't get in. Shanice is in the kitchen, and she's like, yeah, last night was a lot. And then they flash back to more of, like, her going off on Alex about, like, feeling traumatized or whatever from the stuff last year. She goes, like, my family hates you. Like, my mom hates you. Which also... is that true? Because last I checked, when Shanice was calling her mom a couple episodes ago, and she's like, I'm going down the slip and slide naked, doesn't her mom say, only go down it if Alex is also going to go down it naked?
Yeah, I don't know how to interpret that because of that comment from Shanice.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, you're only going to be, only put yourself in a compromising position if that asshole also puts himself in a compromising position. Maybe that's what she meant.
Maybe.
But I feel like that's still a stretch. I don't know. It's weird.
Bria is asking Shanice, are you better now? Or are you still like, I fucking hate you, Alex. Like, fuck you. As she's saying that, Alex walks in the room. And then Shanice just goes, yeah, so like, I apologize for saying I hate you. Like, I don't. Alex literally just goes, yeah. it's so awkward and like weird. Jasmine tells Bria that Mariah she talked to Mariah and that she'll be staying somewhere else, but she'll just be at the house for festivities. And Bria's like, that's fine. Jasmine I was like, okay, like the I think that was the plan already, I guess, so it's fine. But it's like, it was like, don't give anything to Bria. Like,
honestly.
But Jasmine does explain, at the end of the day, Silas had a farewell ceremony, and she showed up, and that said to me that you actually give an F about me and my husband. So to be a friend to her, I have to respect how she's feeling. Fine enough.
Yeah, that's fine if you want to respect how she's feeling, but that's not how she's feeling. She's making shit up for the cameras.
Sure.
Like, I don't have to respect that. Mm-hmm. I don't have to respect your bullshit.
Yeah. I agree. They all head out to this clubhouse in town to play basketball. Alex and Shanice talk about both playing in college and stuff like that, so they have that background. But Nick, like, can't make a basket. He's very, like, terrible at this. He says in the confessional, that's not my ministry, which then becomes the theme of the episode of people just saying that it's not my ministry. Like, Alex
it's
says
a thing.
Alex says it later about, like, the horse riding and stuff like that.
Yeah, people that are brought up in the church. Yeah, that's a thing.
Preston and Bria sit by the side as they're playing to, like, talk a little bit and, like, you know, decompress from the night before. Preston tells her, like, you know, I know there's a lot we're all working through, but I don't want you to think that I'm not appreciative of you letting me know about Phil potentially coming. That wasn't, like, you know, what I was holding on to. Bria goes, look, you're 100% feeling how you should feel, you know, but I would like to have him talk to you on FaceTime. And Preston goes, I'm open to hearing him out. I just hope he doesn't expect anything.
Yeah.
Fine. And Preston says later, like, something to the effect of, like, I can't expect people to grow if I'm not willing to listen to them. So like if they are saying I'm growing, I'm doing whatever, you know, for me to like, if my expectation is for them to grow, then, you know.
Sure. And while I believe that this is commendable on Preston's part, I will point out just because someone has grown does not mean that they deserve to have access to your life.
That's
again.
True.
And they are allowed to grow the fuck up over there.
Right. And that's what I'm saying about like, I hope that like we'll see next episode, because I know next episode Mariah comes at the very least, but I don't think Phil does. But like it seems to me like this was separate of any like reconciling to get him back onto the into the house and onto the show and stuff like that. And I think Bria knew that as well. Mm-hmm. So I if that is what was the goal, then I'm fine with that.
Right. Yeah. I have thoughts about that conversation when we get there.
Yeah, it's not perfect. Don't get me wrong.
It starts off very wonky.
Yeah. Oh my God. Noelle. Noelle is throwing up at one point because it's, I guess, too much for her on the court. Honestly, that's like my worst fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Like the jumping, maybe.
Possibly.
Like that can sometimes unsettle your stomach or something.
And they were drinking the night before. I wouldn't want to. If I'm like in a weirdish place, like from a hangover, I ain't playing basketball.
No. Mm-mm.
They returned back to the house. Shanice injured her ankle on the court, and like Bria is helping her like ice it or whatever. When they do the fucking flashback and they add that sound effect, I was like, why? No, don't do that.
Well, and the thing is that Shanice had already banged her ankle the night before on the band.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So it was like a double injury, and she probably actually weakened it when that happened, but because she was drunk, the alcohol kind of helped her not feel it.
Yeah.
And so she was still able to walk on it just fine. But the next day when she injures it again, that's why it seems like it's so bad.
Cause I don't think it's a break, right?
Like, no,
I've had that happen before where like I twist my ankle one way and it just feels like inflamed and kind of like, you know, but also the rest of this episode, we either see Shanice on crutches or
crawling around in her bedroom.
Like I love that she doesn't hop on one foot. She like her best option is just like army crawling to the bathroom.
But honestly, hopping on one foot is awful because your leg bounces and it bangs into shit and it's worse.
Yeah. A bunch of them are getting ready to go out to the club for the night. Noelle staying in because she's just trying to recover. They get to the club and security won't let Milo in with Bria.
Duh.
Okay. Here's my thing. So Bria is like, look, you guys go in. Like, I'm just going to chill and, you know, you guys go party. She does say in her confessional, look, Milo and I have been to clubs worldwide, Germany, south of France, Spain. So what's the problem? It really, I will say this. I think it's an America thing. Yeah. I think in other countries, people don't care about that shit.
No, right. But we also have like strict rules about
like it's animals, like a health code thing,
health code and all of that sort of thing. And also like, and it's also one thing if it's like an open air cafe or if it's like, you know, an actual service animal. I'm sorry, your emotional support dog that is not registered is not a service animal. So stop trying to act like it is, because it makes those of us who actually need them seem less legitimate.
Sure.
But it's just like, stop. She did this as an excuse to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out with everybody. But then
they're
like,
not engaged.
To not actually engage.
That's a good point. I actually, like, yeah. Yeah, that's probably not wrong. So
because what would she have done if she went into the club and had Milo? What? Are they just going to sit in the booth all night?
Yeah, and I don't think Milo was even on leash, if I remember correctly. Maybe Milo was later when took Milo out to go to the bathroom. But like, yeah, I was like,
so you're just going to hold him in the corner all night?
I don't care.
Were you going to dance on the dance floor with him?
I don't care. Like as much of like general, like genuine emotional support aspect of it. I don't bring my dog to the club, even if I,
no,
like, you know, needed that. Cause to me, it's just a hassle at that point.
Yeah.
I don't like going to the club by myself.
Honestly.
Bria is in the car, though, as they're partying, and she FaceTimes Simon. She goes, how was your flight in? Is it peaceful at the apartment? Because I guess he's staying at her apartment. And he goes, yeah, but there's some energy from when you left, so I'm not sure. And she goes, fuck you.
Jeez.
I like that. I mean, they are not meant to be, don't get me wrong, but they definitely, I like that Simon gives it to her back a little bit.
There's so many red flags here, and it's just.
Well, and also she says in her confessional, he doesn't have that many friends in Germany, so my presence not being there gives him anxiety. You know, if he's having a bad day at work and I'm not there to cook and clean for him, it's caused a lot of arguments in our relationship.
Excuse the fuck out of me.
You can't.
You live in New York.
Yeah.
Why does he expect you to be there in Germany?
Well, I think. Well, that's how. But what it is I think the fights are more about. I think he wants her to move to Germany.
Sure. But then there's also like this undercurrent of she's a black woman and he's a white man, and like expecting her to be in the house and take care of things and all of this stuff. And it's like. And I don't know if he necessarily understands that, because I don't know that chattel slavery was an issue in Germany. I know it was in some parts of Europe.
Right. I don't think he's thinking that.
But nothing like it was in the U.S.
Right.
So it's like maybe he just doesn't understand the cultural implications that would maybe hit for her that are not going to occur to him.
I was just more thinking about it from the general sense, where it's like, that's the thing, is that you cook and clean for him and that's what makes him like fall apart. Not that like he misses you emotionally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's layers to this shit Sunday. Like it's not good.
Oh my God. The next morning, Shamish is still crawling on the ground. Amir has apparently organized a rodeo day for, because he's like, you know, being from Texas, and we were both like, okay, but you live in Austin and that's not the same thing.
No, Austin is its own world. It's weird. Like, keep Austin weird is like an actual thing.
Yeah.
And it's because Austin is weird as fuck. Like, if you're talking about like places in Texas where rodeo is part of the culture, mm-hmm. I would be talking about Fort Worth. I would be talking about San Antonio. I would be talking about places out west like Lubbock, Abilene, like El Paso, not fucking Austin.
No.
I don't even know of where you would go to a quote unquote rodeo in Austin.
Not an actual like official one.
Like you, it would be like out in the country. Yeah. It wouldn't be in Austin proper.
We do get a shot. So everyone's getting dressed for the rodeo day. And like Jasmine goes in the Preston's room to like, I guess like check on something. And we see Preston full on jock strapped, ass out. Like I love how much nudity they show on the show. It's actually really great.
I love how it's equal opportunity nudity too. Yeah. Like, Preston's gonna come out here and show his ass off. Absolutely, we're gonna show it.
And I love Jasmine's like, okay, booty.
But honestly, like, let's get some love for like plus size queer black men.
Yeah.
Especially a darker complected black man who are not celebrated a lot in media. It's like Preston's a catch. Like his fiance? No, they didn't. They just get married. No, fiance.
They got engaged.
They got engaged. His fiance is a lucky man.
Yeah,
that is a lucky man. Preston's a catch.
Speaking of Preston, we then see Preston and Bria going outside, and Bria calls Phil on FaceTime to facilitate this conversation. Phil says hi, and then Phil says, "So basically, I was drunk last time I met all y'all, and that's no excuse for my behavior. It's just meant to be an explanation."
I didn't
like him leading with that.
It needed to lead with the words, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
His
tone was like the tone and was, here's the thing. I think he's from like, this is also very difficult because like Preston's speaking from an experience of like being a gay person and like,
right.
And while Phil was not as hyped up as he was when he came into the house last season, he still has that bro-y energy that's like
very much
difficult to like get deep with in a way. Yeah. Not that I don't think that he like wants to be an asshole, but yeah, like, you know.
Well, especially as Preston talked about, it's like as a gay person, as a queer person in general, like, these are the stereotypes of people, like the bro-y guys, the frat kind of feeling guys.
Yeah.
These are the ones that you're terrified of. Like, those are the ones who commit the hate crimes.
Right. And he says in his confessional, I just really encourage us to be very mindful of the words that we're using when we're talking to people. I did love, he adds, the whole sticks and stones thing, all of it was a lie. And I love that we have, but that's the thing. As much as it's like, and people can be like, oh, you're a snowflake. But it's like, I'm sorry. Yes, we have to recontextualize it where it's like, you know, words have meanings behind them. And so, and connotations, and they exist in a society where there's context involved. And so, yeah, like you may not have been punched in the face, but you, the fear that you have, until you know that fear.
Yeah.
Like
it's because you never know. You never know because typically, here's the thing. Typically, bigots of all sorts are going to test the waters first.
Sure.
They're going to drop a microaggression.
See where it gets.
See how you react. If it gets the rise that they want it to get, then they'll probably push further.
Yeah.
To upset you more because they're getting off on it. So that's why, like, it's exhausting as the person that has been targeted by that, but it's also, like, it's terrifying. Like, it floods you with adrenaline. A chill goes down your neck. You don't know how far this person is going to go.
Yeah.
You don't know if this is stopping at some really awful jokes or comments, or if it's going all the way to actual physical violence.
Yeah.
And you don't know until it happens.
Yeah, I agree. Phil says, my intention was never to hurt nobody. I have no justification because that wasn't me, bro. I've been in therapy for the past year, year and a half, and know that I'm coming to you genuinely. Like, I know that I fucked up pretty badly. And I thought he was very conciliatory. And Preston says, I accept your apology 100%. Phil then goes, I appreciate that. And if you do get a chance to talk to the other dudes, like, I tried to let them know how I truly felt. Like, I didn't really get to cross paths with Alex because that one time he said I wasn't a comedian. And that was the one thing that y'all said that hurt my feelings. I think he's joking. Like, but
I think he is too, but it's like, dude, this is not helping your case.
But I know that he goes, I actually am a comedian. Like, that's how I made my money. And Preston goes, did you make a lot of it? And Phil goes, no.
And Preston goes, see, I can be a comedian too.
Again, I think Preston showed how to handle that, right? How to, you know, do it responsibly while standing firm in your beliefs and standing, you know, in your morals, but then educating and, you know, I liked it. I liked this conversation.
Yeah.
They arrive to the ranch for rodeo day. Summer makes a joke or a confessional. I have experience riding horses, some stallions. I'm like, okay, we get, oh, like Alex. she also, earlier when they were getting dressed, was like, can I wear heels? I'm like, no, you can't wear heels to ride a fucking horse. Like,
it's not. Oh, jeez.
Jasmine says she's not riding. She doesn't tell the woman
she
why,
doesn't
obviously.
Want to scramble the embryo.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, no, you can't.
Even though that's not a thing because it's suspended in liquid. But, you know.
Same difference. And then they do that. They ride horses for a little bit. They do like a rodeo relay thing. It's really fun. They're bobbing for apples at one point. Noel Lurie goes, where's that water from? And how long has it been sitting out there? I'm like, yeah, here's my thing. Very like aesthetically pleasing from afar, this whole like part of the trip. I
don't like the smells.
Not my thing. The smells I don't mind as much. I can't do hay. Hay is just like
hay.
like an allergy nightmare for me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, when they were like, bobbing for apples, like in like, but the bucket's like near dirt, and I was just like, no, I'm
no,
good.
Mm-mm.
I like a nice like picnic by a you know. I like the stable that like Sutton has on Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
that's nice. That's delightful.
Yeah,
this it's a little too country for me. So they arrive back to the house, but before they do, Jasmine texts everyone and says, "Hey guys, I have a guest coming for a chill dinner tonight." And so the whole time they're theorizing, like, who's the guest going to be? Is it going to be her mom? Is it going to be who the fuck ever? Like, to me, again, the fact that also all of them figured out, like, you know, pretty early that she was pregnant, right? Other than Amir.
Amir is the most oblivious human on this planet, I feel.
Yeah. At the very least, he's playing that. The fact that they didn't put two and two together until the dinner, I thought was interesting. Bria says in her confessional, because she sees the text, is like, if Jasmine is pulling a quick one on me after we just made up, that bitch is the ops.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it is never about you, Bria.
Everyone, oh my God. So, like, the girls are doing shots in Shanice's room because Shanice can't come downstairs, basically. She's like, once I'm in this bed before the dinner, like, I'm here. So, like,
that's fair.
Bring the tequila up, basically. Oh my God. Amir then is in the living room and FaceTimes Natalie.
This was so awkward.
The chemistry. Am I right? I'm not right because it's non-existent. He literally goes, "How was your day?" And she goes, "My day was good. Just getting stuff done, you know." Amir goes, "Well, you look good." And it's just like silence. Like she doesn't respond. And he goes, "All right." And Natalie goes, "What?" And he goes, "Nothing. I'm just trying to talk to you." And Natalie goes, "Oh, well, you can go." Wow. You seem like a basket of fun.
I mean, look, after the season, the girls on the cast seem to be fine with her.
Sure.
Now. But she's really like creating this, like, she's like building the mountain she's going to have to overcome.
Yeah. My thing is she's just dry, and that to me, and not dry in like a, you know, just like not there. And like, she's pretty, she's very clearly pretty.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think Amir needs just a pretty girl.
Yeah.
And I think like him having her is his, like, to me, it feels to me placeholdery.
Yeah.
Like, I should have a girlfriend. And so there, but it's like, what do you connect on?
Yeah.
I feel like they don't have a connection at all.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but a booty like that is wasted on a straight man.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I just.
Yeah. Like, are you trying to convince him to dip in the Arpont?
Like, that woman ain't eating the booty. I'm just saying, yeah. Like, it's got to be used and utilized. It's there.
Amir says it's confessional. She's not going to tell me how she feels, but it's up to me to pick up these little cues that let me know how she feels. And you were like, I hate that. I hate when, like,
yeah,
it's pointless. Just
talk. Nobody's a fucking mind reader. Stop that shit.
Yeah. Some of the girls are by the pool before dinner, and Summer's like, yeah, so should we get like a bunch of like main dishes for when we order food? And Bria goes, look, I like individual ones because like I have like dietary restrictions. I don't eat egg. I'm allergic to Tylenol, which like, why did you bring up? No one's feeding you Tylenol.
Also, you've been here for 8 days at this point and you haven't had an issue with anything anybody's cooked so far,
apparently. And but I love that Shanice goes, she can't have dick. Shanice, I would be friends with Shanice.
Yeah, Shanice is great.
Bria though then sees an opportunity because Summer and Noelle are there, and she goes, how are you two doing? Like, did you guys have your talk about Alex? I thought, okay, it starts fine enough, but Summer goes, yeah, well, Noelle goes, yeah, because I was cut off guard when people were like, oh, you didn't know her and Alex had like past dealings. Summer goes, I thought you had understood the past dealings that we had. Bria then goes, I mean, you guys met up for lunch prior to the vacation. Like, why didn't you think to just say, like, I slept with this one person in the house? Okay, Bria, I get why Summer's pissed later, to me, in my view, because Bria was pushing it and making this her issue.
Right. It's none of Bria's, like, it's none of her business.
I don't even think Noelle's that offended.
However, Summer was wrong. She should have been more explicit.
Fine.
Because she said, well, I told you we hung out, like, you should have known. No, that's not how things work in the real world. Like, hang out is not synonymous for had sex.
Yeah. My thing is just like, I think Noel doesn't care that much. And I think when Noel broached it, Summer's like, yeah, I should have done that differently. And that was it. There's not like a deep.
Right.
To me, like Bria pushing this more was to try to make more of an issue of it.
Right.
Summer goes, look, I don't know if she likes him or not because she's never met him, meaning when we had that lunch or whatever before. Like, she's never met Alex. I don't know if she likes him. Why would I, like, naturally be like, hey, so I fucked this person? You know what I mean? Bria goes, no. And Summer goes, I'm not done. Bria goes, no, I'm just agreeing. Because it was kind of like the... Like the no, yeah, sort of like
yeah.
That. Like I don't think Bria was like, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely a no, yeah, not a yeah, no. And it's so weird that English does that. I'm sorry. English is such a fucked up language.
Yeah. She goes, she's like, I'm saying she never met him. Don't turn on me now, Summer. And Summer's like, no, I'm just making sure we're on the same page. Summer goes, look, Noelle, like what happened is a miscommunication. It was not my intention to hurt you or set you up to make you look dumb. I should have told you, yes, he's been inside me. I made him come like how many times?
Why is that always the phrasing?
She makes, and it's such, so intentional. She always like, yeah, I made him come and like he was inside me. It's just that, like, I'm sorry. It's a very unsexy way to say.
What happened to we slept together? Or hell, we fucked would have been better than he's been inside me and I made him come several times.
Yeah. But Summer's like, I should have said it, whatever. And then it definitely felt like something was cut. I don't know why, because Summer just says it and then she's just like, so fuck me then. And then gets up to walk off. And Noelle's like, I'm not saying fuck you, Summer. I'm not saying that. Like, I felt like something happened in between, right? Because it just went.
I mean, maybe there was a look that the cameras didn't catch, but yeah. I don't, that's the only thing I can think of. I like, it does definitely feel like there was a cut there somewhere.
Noelle says in her confessional, you know, when someone's hurting inside, they're quick to lash out but slow to listen. And that's, she feels, I do feel Summer has a temper at times where she doesn't always realize that, like, this is just a discussion, it's not an attack on you,
right?
And Jasmine kind of says that to Noelle later. It's like, this is kind of Summer's MO.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I think as much as I love Shanice, I think I most vibe with Noelle on this cast.
Yeah.
She gives kind of young Phaedra vibes. I think we may have said that at the beginning of this show, but she very much gives young Phaedra vibes. That the way she holds herself with just like so much regard and like regality.
Yeah.
I very much love that.
So Jasmine and Noelle are talking in the kitchen because Noelle's like, I don't want her to feel like she's attacked and stuff like that. That wasn't the intention. Amir then walks in as they're talking and just goes, oh, I'm just an audience. Sorry. Like, listening to their fucking whole conversation. And then when Noelle pulls Summer to the side to talk and she literally like is wide eyed at Jasmine and goes, what happened?
And Jasmine's like, I don't know. I'm just here. Like, I'm trying to do this.
I'm trying to set up the table. Like, Noelle tells Summer, like, look, if it felt like you were being attacked there, I apologize. And Summer's like, look, and I'm sorry I got upset and I walked away. Like, Bria's, you know, it was more about Bria, basically. Like, there's no changing her mind on things. And Noelle's like, girl, I'm just glad that you didn't meet her with, like, a right hook and a left hook and, like, like, fucked her up in that moment. Like, yeah, it's, Summer wasn't mad at Noelle. She was mad at Bria and, like, you know.
Right.
That's more what it was about. Everyone then heads down for dinner and they have a guest chair like set up at the dinner table. So they're
Jasmine, so fucking extra.
Jasmine was milking the fuck out of this. Like, you know, she does her toast and says, you guys have become my chosen family. I really need you guys this summer. So with that being said, our guest has actually already been here. And Amir's like, I don't even think Amir at this point even still gets what's happening.
Oh, at all.
He like looks under the table, like whatever. She reveals she's pregnant. Everyone's like, oh my God. Yay.
The fact that she has been sucking in this whole time.
I know, again, this is, I'm a gay man, so I don't know anything about women's bodies, unfortunately, even though I support them. Is that healthy?
It's fine.
It doesn't make a difference?
Okay. No, not really. Because like I said, it's a fluid-filled sac. Everything like can kind of squish around. And like even without a pregnancy involved, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Especially because at 2 months, like this is, like the embryo's not, it's still not that big.
Yeah. Because she's about to hit her second trimester at this point.
Yeah. So like 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's still like on the small end where like she couldn't do that at 8 months.
Sure.
But like at two or three, yeah, she'll be fine.
I love that everyone's talking about, yeah, I figured out, like, you could clearly tell. Summer in her confessional, like, have you seen those titties? Like all the women were like, her boobs. Like, look at her boobs.
Yeah.
Amir asked, like, if Silas will be able to be there for the labor, and this is what, like, you talked about, Jasmine says, like, I have to give birth and then provide the birth certificate, and then they will release him.
It's like several, because the thing is that she has to provide the birth certificate, which she gets like a couple weeks after birth, and then they have to get through the bureaucratic red tape. That's another like 2 weeks. So like that baby will be like a month old before he meets it.
Yeah. Summer goes, would you go there to give the birth? Is that a thing? And Jasmine goes, absolutely not.
No.
Like I am not doing that. Especially not for your first. Like,
no.
You don't know what's going to happen physically. Right. Like, yeah.
Well, especially like, how old is she?
Probably in her 30s, like early 30s, I think.
Which, you know, like, I mean, she's not into geriatric territory yet, but like, still, pregnancies in your 30s are more risky than in your 20s, and especially as a black woman.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be very...
And then you have to fly back with the baby.
No. Especially because you don't have documentation. Now that baby was born in Germany... Sure, to American parents, but now you've got a lot of red tape about where that baby was born and the citizenship and how do you get, like, it's a pain. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Jordan says her confessional, you know, I'm sad that Silas can't be with her on this journey. It's her first pregnancy. It's his first. Well, I think. I'm assuming it's both their first. I'm not trying to be messy. I'm just saying. I was like, okay. Like, I was kind of I thought it was funny, but I also was like, okay, Jordan, you didn't have to go there.
Right. You could have easily said it's their first child.
Yeah.
Like.
It felt messy on Jordan's part.
Yes. Everything this season has felt messy on Jordan's part.
I thought it was sweet. Noelle has them all pray over Jasmine. And
yeah.
It was a very sweet moment.
they talked about in confessionals. She prayed for her grandbabies and great-grandbabies, like their lineage for generations.
Oh, man. They get ready for the Apollo night that Noelle's organizing, so it's basically a talent show. I'm going to say it. Talent shows are never fun. I did a talent show in middle school, and I am so glad the footage does not exist.
It's, yeah.
Look, it's very much like this because I winged it.
Well, here's the thing. I like very much where that was your experience. I grew up in a very, very predominantly black district.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was one of a handful of white kids. I was the only white kid in our choir. And we had a solo in a performance at like a pep rally or something. So mm-hmm. The entire school is there.
Oh, Jesus.
And After I did my, and it was an a cappella thing in middle school, okay? I sing that, and then there's this silence, and somebody in the back goes, ooh, white boy can sing real loud. And we had to continue singing after that.
That's hilarious.
It was wild.
Amir's doing poetry. He says in the confessional, I haven't practiced poetry since third grade. Roses are red, violets are blue. I like you. Can you come to school? Bars.
What?
Amir, oh my God. His poem's a mess. Again, like, I get, like, that poems need to rhyme. I'm sorry. That's the one thing I'm a stickler on. I'm not in terms of song lyrics, but poems need to rhyme.
And the thing is that if you're doing like the spoken word type poetry,
mm-hmm.
you don't even necessarily, it's closer and more akin to rap. So you can kind of play with rhythms and things where you can't really do that in standard poetry.
Yeah.
Usually there's a meter involved in standard poetry, but in spoken word, if you're going that direction, there's a lot more freedom and fluidity with it that he just didn't play with.
Yeah. Oh my God, Shanice, Summer, and Noelle are doing this, I guess, somewhat girl group. I don't know what it is called, the meows, where they just meow the whole time.
Honestly, work.
They kind of should have won, I will say, because at least they had choreo. And also, Shanice comes down in her crutches in this wig that she has on and is just like dying. Amira goes, girl, you look like something out of Men in Black. It really did look like that. It's a lot of this is cringe. Like, for me, Nick and Jordan dress as each other, and it's kind of funny. Bria is doing like acrobat stuff with Milo or whatever, like where he's like balances Milo on her feet or whatever. It's again, talent shows, the best talent show is still cringy to me.
Yeah.
It's like, there's nothing like, and Preston, who's the judge, ends up giving Amir the win with his poem. And Jasmine is in her confessional goes, how is it that everyone is given personality and you give it to the ChatGPT poets? Oh man, it did feel like that. Yeah, it was kind of an awkward sort of end, but still a very, like I said, light, fun, not too eventful episode, but still a great episode. It's going to seemingly get very intense next week when we start to bring the guests in.
Finally get Mariah.
Summer's going off about something, so it should be fun. Yeah, that was Summer House Martha's Vineyard for this week.
All right, let's get into these tops and bottoms. We got Drag Race, we got Martha's Vineyard. What you thinking, babe?
It's a tough one this week. I'm going to give my top, and I really have missed her at this point, to Sasha Colby.
Mm.
Like, when she performed and when she came out on this finale, I was just like, God damn, this has been like a great year for her. And just like she, I will never turn down a Sasha Colby appearance or performance on a show or like ever. It's just like, she is a beacon, like all in of herself. And yeah, she like is such a star, and like, her presence is so needed on the show. So I'm hopeful with her, the rumor that she's guest, being the side judge or whatever for Down Under. That should be interesting.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Michelle's hosting, and that she's going to be the guest, or not guest judge, but the
one. The Michelle.
Yeah, essentially. Like, I think more of Sasha Colby in this world is definitely, definitely needed. So love to see her. My bottom, I'm going to give it to Bria over Summer House Martha's Vineyard. This is the only one I could really think of. Like, some of the storming out, some of the arguments, it's just a little frustrating when it comes to her. It's just like, she's a lot to deal with in a way. And I get that you need that in a way on these shows. Like, not everyone's supposed to be, like, someone has to be the antagonist. It's just kind of the way that she does it that I don't always love. It does fuck with things a little bit.
Well, and I prefer that if you're going to be an antagonist, it needs to be born out of reality.
Yeah,
because like, all of this shit with Mariah is blown out of proportion, outright lying about actually being upset about her coming. Like, there's so much bullshit,
right?
And it's just like, I don't believe you at this point.
Or at the very least, I need to figure out why she acts the way she acts. Like, I need to get in depth as to why that is. That really hasn't been engaged yet on this show. And that could maybe explain things, but as of now, it just seems like you're just kind of like a bratty asshole. And
yeah.
So, you know, that's fun every once in a while, but just here, it can be a little frustrating. What about you, babe? What are your tops and bottoms?
I'm going to start with my bottom. I was going to do Bria.
You might as well.
But I mean, honestly, like, it's just exhausting at this point. Like, to the point, I don't think that I'm quite to the point where I'm like, don't want to see her on the screen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I could understand it getting to that point. I could see that in the future. So it's like, I hope it gets toned down at some point.
Yeah.
So that we can still enjoy the rest of the show. Because like we said earlier, this is the best show on Bravo right now. I also want to do a dishonorable mention to Drag Race quote unquote fans. I'm gonna need y'all to stop shitting on the winner every year.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, because I get that you think Safira should have won. I, going into the finale, thought the same thing. Stop trying to take away from Nymphia's win. Nymphia wins win. Because she's absolutely fucking deserving of the crown.
Yeah.
And to act like she's not is bullshit.
Yeah.
And you do this every year. I'm tired. Yeah. So dishonorable mention there. My top is going to go to Nymphia. because bitch showed out. Like, she really did show us what a drag pop star could be. And literally, like I said before, she could be a performer at the same level as a Beyonce, as a Gaga, as an Ariana Grande. Like, she's giving that energy. She's giving that performance level, and that amount of drama and, like, ease, that it's really just, you can't help but, like, just have your jaw on the ground when you're watching her perform, because she's that fucking good.
Yeah.
And while Sasha has had more direct advocacy in her work, I think that Nymphia just existing and doing what she does will also make drag more acceptable, will also make people go, oh, this is it. This is what drag is. I mean, even if it's not over the top, you know, like makeup or like someone that you can clock really easily, because some drag is that, right? That you lay into that. But it's like there's such a wide spectrum, and she's representing something that we don't always get. And plus, just the representation for East Asia is amazing, especially coming off the heels of COVID, where there was such a rampant increase of hate against Asian Americans. We just love to see this celebration of culture. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of A Gay and His Envy.
Join us next time for more of our recaps and hot takes. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you are listening. And check us out on our social media at A Gay and His Envy on all the platforms.
A special shout out to Shane Ivers, who wrote Pulsar, the song we use for our theme.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin. And we're out.
This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.